The Biden administration is taking credit for saving us from a huge railroad strike. Now, that railroad strike would have been absolutely disastrous. Politico has come out with an incredible report about $10 billion spent by four different health organizations and how they had little government oversight on the COVID response. And Dr. Anthony Fauci had a horrible day yesterday with Rand Paul. Plus, we're going to talk about UFOs over the skies of the Ukraine. All of this and more. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome back, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. So glad that you are here. If by now you probably heard the words, you probably heard the news, I guess I should say, that the Biden administration successfully negotiated the deal with the railroad workers and a strike tomorrow will not happen. A tentative deal is in place. At heart over that deal was the fact that some of these railroad workers were not getting schedules in advance. And as a result, if they had a doctor's appointment scheduled, they would get a negative point put onto them as, you know, trying to circumvent their work. Now, this was only three remaining unions that were holding up everything. I don't want to get too conspiracy theory here about what actually went down, but let me tell you first what would have happened tomorrow had this entire thing crashed. Our country would be upside down. That's right. The automobile industry that's been struggling to get cars onto the lots would have been absolutely crushed if the railroads could no longer bring those freights worth of new vehicles directly to the dealerships, saving them in cost. We would have had massive inflation on vehicles would that have happened. We also would have got crushed in the refinery business. Whether it's oil or gasoline, we rely on freight cars in order to get the materials to and from. That would have been disastrous. Not to mention, we would have had hazardous materials sitting alongside the side of the road in these rail cars because everybody would have been on strike. And that would have been a national security risk for us not to have been able to address. The list goes on and on. Really, we would have been looking at record inflation on top of record inflation, and our country would have been ruined in a lot of ways had this happened, which is why I believe it was never actually going to happen. Because if you're a Delawarean and you pay attention, there's one politician that's been known as a friend of the railroads, one politician only, one politician that has ridden an Amtrak train since 1973 back and forth daily to Washington, D.C. up until the time he became vice president. That is right. That is Joe Biden. Joe Biden is majorly in with the railroads. And so failure was never an option whatsoever. That was never going to happen as far as going on strike. But everybody saw these headlines. Everybody knew the implications. Even I had recorded a show for today where originally I was doing a scenario. Should the railroads go on strike? I didn't think it was likely, but I was nervous. I was getting concerned that, hey, we're not seeing progress the other way. So had this thing happened, it would have been horrible. Why do I think that now, all of a sudden, there's a deal in place? Well, I think the Biden administration got involved because it's midterm season. I think that they know that the whole thing could have been solved, but they want the feel-good story of, look, here's another accomplishment by the Biden administration in order to bring the last remaining three unions together over this. That was never going to happen. I have trouble fathoming the fact that people would believe that the rail strike was going to follow through. So it was averted today, or maybe earlier this morning, I guess I should say, because the rail workers, as they claimed, had key concessions. And the tentative agreement has now been a finalized deal. And it was negotiated by the unions that represent engineers and conductors. And All 12 of the rail unions are going to benefit from these things. The railroad industry has said that average railroad salaries will reach $110,000 by the end of this five-year deal in 2025. And the financial terms of the deal were based on the recommendations made by the Presidential Emergency Board last month. So this was already being negotiated a month ago, and it wasn't all in the headlines above things. Again, I believe that this is a midterm story. This is about Joe Biden taking his beloved train and saying, you know what? We got to look good here. We need another win. This is an easy win for us to get. And a lot of people fell for that. I'd need to get a little bit more facts about where things went down. Now, if this was, hey, 2 out of 12 had agreed and the rest of them, right, 10 out of the 12 were saying no, then yeah, I would have said, hey, a strike is imminent. But the fact that it was only 3 at this point and it was over something just about healthcare, all the other terms of the deal were good, there was never really a reason to sound the alarm and to spook the markets so much as they were. But hey, it looks good for the election season, right? It looks good for giving some more credit, another thing that you're going to hear rolled out in front of you. Joe Biden's now going to get out there during his campaign stumps and stuff and say, hey, you know, my administration and Democrats, we worked together and got something done Republicans couldn't get done. Meanwhile, Republicans, I'm sure there were some that were part of the negotiations, but hey, we can't talk about that. Now, this next story that came out is from Politico. It's a special report just hot off the press. And they basically talk about how Bill Gates and partners use their clout to control the global COVID response with little oversight. Now, if you've listened to my show, you know that I've already talked about this over and over again about how did Bill Gates get the wield this type of power? How did we say that, yeah, you're a billionaire and you should represent this through your Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? In fact, now we know there's 4 health organizations that worked very closely together and spent close to $10 billion on COVID across the world. And they did that without the scrutiny of government. They did that when they didn't even reach their own goals. And so this investigation is absolutely eye-opening. I'm happy to see it. I just want to give credit to the writers, Aaron Bonko, Ashley Furlong, and Leonard Faller. They did a great job. You should definitely check it out. We all know when COVID came out, no one could have seen how that fast that was going to spread globally. No one understood where things were going to be November of 2019. But by January of 2020, it became pretty clear. I know on my Twitter page, I was telling people, now's time to prepare. We need to figure this out. But what ended up happening by March, I started wondering, why is Bill Gates the guy who's out in front of us? Why are we seeing these billionaires, the ones that are giving the advice on something that we should be hearing from another organization? And so what the story tells us is that while all other nations were debating about the pandemic, there were 4 groups that decided they were going to identify potential vaccine makers, and they invested in the development of test treatments and shots. And they used the clout by paying off the World Health Organization to figure out what a worldwide distribution plan would be for all of that. This sounds like 4 organizations that had a common history and had some clout, had some ability to influence the WHO, which kind of makes all those people that said the WHO was just pandering sound like they're correct. And guess who Politico discovered was the largest and most powerful of all the people that were influencing the WHO? That's right, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. There is also Gavi, and that is the Global Vaccine Organization. Now, Gavi was helped founded by Bill Gates. So 2 of these foundations are directly tied to Bill Gates. And that was their thing, was to inoculate people in low-income nations. You might have seen his talk before, his TED talk, where he talks about, you know, reducing the population is one way and vaccinations, and people flipped out about that. That was years ago. Anyway, that's one of them. And then we also have the Wellcome Trust, which is a British research foundation that has a multi-billion-dollar endowment. And guess who they work with? That's right, Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation. And finally, they found the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, otherwise known as CEPI, C-E-P-I, which was an international vaccine research and development group. Oh my God, Bill Gates created this one too. That's right. The foremost influential people, organizations in influencing the WHO on COVID decisions all went directly back to Bill Gates. So this only furthers my thing that I've been talking about this entire time about why is it that we have this trust in Bill Gates and his money that he's doing the intrinsic good for us, making sure that everything is just taken care of. And so the key takeaways of that political story was follow the money. Where have you heard that before? When people tell me, oh, it's 100% safe and effective. It's the only way to stop this thing. This was the only plan, which now we know is a lie because there was also just a study that just came out with Harvard and a bunch of other places that say that the vaccine in people under the age of 65 was actually found to be more harmful than getting a vaccine and the possibility of saving one life, that more lives would be harmed than those that would not be harmed by taking the vaccine. Can't make this stuff up. But if you follow the money, you got to read this Politico report. I'm going to link it with this story today. But there's somebody else having a bad day. You know him as the good doctor. Dr. Anthony Fauci had a horrible day. Horrible day. Because Senator Rand Paul decided to use his words against him. Don't take it from me. Just listen to this exchange right here.
But she's had the flu for 14 days. Should she get a flu shot?
Well, no. If she got the flu for 14 days, she's as protected as anybody can be, because the best vaccination is to get infected yourself.
And
so this is Rand Paul playing Dr. Fauci's words for him during this hearing. Stating that really natural infection, you do not need a vaccine.
It's the most potent.
And listen to this exchange here as Dr. Paul starts to clarify.
This is an ongoing question, and you know we've had ever-evolving opinions from you, Dr. Fauci. Currently, antibody surveys show that 80% of children, approximately 80% of children, have had COVID. And yet there are no guidelines coming from you or anybody in the government to take into account their naturally acquired immunity. You seemed quite certain of yourself in 2004, but in 2022, there's a lot less certainty. One of the things that we also know after looking at this for 2 to 3 years is that the mortality from COVID is very similar, if not less, than influenza. So when we look at this, we wonder, you know, why you seem to really embrace basic immunology back in 2004, and how you or why you seem to reject it now.
Well, I don't reject basic immunology, Senator, and I have never denied that there is importance of the protection following infection. However, as we have said many times, and as has been validated by the authorization of by the FDA through their committee and the recommendation by the CDC through their committee, that a vaccination following infection gives an added extra boost.
I got a break here just to make sure you guys are hearing what he's saying. He is stating that the executive use authorization that the CDC and they all agreed upon is that the vaccine, right, was the best protection. What he's not telling you is what Rand Paul is going to follow up with in a few moments. And that is that natural immunity was never processed into their decision making.
And that film that you showed is really taken out of context. I believe that was when someone called in who had had a reaction to a vaccine and asked me through a telephone in the interview if they should get vaccinated again.
So he's starting to hold up a piece of paper right
here.
Who had
a reaction.
So he was prepared to talk about this.
Reuters fact check looked at that and said,
he's holding it up.
Fauci's 2004 comments do not contradict his pandemic stance.
Actually, words don't lie. If you look at the words behind me, we can go over them a little bit at a time. She doesn't need it because the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
It is true.
If it's true, then why are you backpedaling, Fauci? Why are you having this conversation right now? If the words are your words, why are you not acknowledging what Rand Paul's trying to say?
It is true, Senator. It is a very potent way to protect.
When you're trying to tell us that kids need a third or a fourth vaccine, are you including the variability or the variable of previous infection in the studies?
You already know what he's about to respond with. It can't deal with the actual question because he can't defend what Rand Paul is talking about. So the answer has got to be no. And since it's not no, he's going to deflect. And we're going to hear his deflection in just a few moments, but we got to take a break. All right, everybody, we'll be right back in just a few moments. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold, too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deep. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients supporting all four stages of sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. We're listening to Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci go back and forth sparring today as Anthony Fauci continues to avoid Rand Paul's question. Now, right before the break, Rand was asking him whether or not that natural immunity was taken into consideration during this research to figure out if vaccines and boosters were necessary now that about 80% of all children in the United States have been infected with the coronavirus. And Rand Paul's about to call him out that they're not taking any of this research into consideration. So he continues.
No, you're not. Because when you have approved vaccines in recent times and the committees that have approved it for children don't report anything on hospitalization or death or transmission. Right. They only report that if you give them the jab, they'll make antibodies. And you can give kids hundreds of jabs and they'll make antibodies every time, but that does not prove efficacy. Okay. So what you're doing is denying the very fundamental premise of immunology that previous infection does provide some sort of immunity.
I am so glad that Rand Paul is making this case for children across the United States. My own kids have had COVID. They survived COVID. Now, my daughter, she lost her sense of smell and taste for a while, but largely it wasn't a big deal. And they've had it multiple times. My son, same thing. They're resilient. The natural immunity works really well.
It's not in any of your studies. Almost none of your studies from the CDC or from the government have the variable of whether or not you've been previously infected. So let's look at adults. I've had three infections. Should I get a fourth one? If you're going to measure whether I get a fourth one, you need a category that has a fourth one in it, and you need one that has nothing in it, no vaccine or the fourth vaccine. but you also need to know whether they've been infected. If you ignore whether they've been infected, you're ignoring a vaccine, basically. So you're ignoring a variable. So what you're giving us is this, you decry, and people decry vaccine hesitancy. It's coming from the gobbledygook that you give us. You're not paying attention to the
gobbledygook.
The very basic science is that previous infection provides a level of immunity. If you ignore that in your studies, if you don't present that in your committees, you're not being truthful or honest with us.
It actually goes further than that. It actually means that the science is flawed. Do you remember how everybody tells us we got to trust the science? It's 100% safe and effective. Trust the science. Guess what? The statistics are invalid immediately if we're not taking this into consideration. So Fauci finally responds.
Senator, if I might respond, I have never, ever denied fundamental immunology. In fact, I wrote the chapter in the textbook of medicine
immunology. Any of the guidelines for vaccines,
you know,
do any of the guidelines for vaccines from the government include previous infection as something to base your decision-making on with vaccines? Do any of the guidelines involve previous infection? That's why you're ignoring previous infection, because it doesn't involve any of the guidelines. And furthermore, we've been asking you, and you refuse to answer, whether anybody on the vaccine committees gets royalties from the pharmaceutical companies. I asked you last time, and what was your response? We don't have to tell you.
Right.
We've demanded them through Freedom of Information Act, and what have you said? We're not going to tell you. But I tell you this, when we get in charge, we're going to change the rules, and you will have to divulge where you get your royalties from what companies, and if anybody on the committee has a conflict of interest, we're going to learn about it. I promise you that.
This was the shining moment, I think, in the testimony, because Fauci just told everybody, yeah, you're right. He said, you're right. I told you, I'm not going to tell you if we're getting royalties from these companies. We're trusting the science. We're trusting Moderna. We're trusting Johnson & Johnson. We're trusting Pfizer. But they are kicking money back to the very people that are approving things. And we just had the most recent version, whatever, 5.0 that they're on to now for the Omicron different variants, BA4, BA5, that was never tested on any humans, but because they didn't have time to wait. They just had to get it out there. These people are getting paid off. They're literally getting paid off, and we're told to trust the science. Meanwhile, there's a huge hole when we're not taking natural immunity into consideration with vaccines and boosters. And people are rushing to get their children vaccinated. And then my favorite is when they go on social media and they're like, I got my child vaccinated, as if they have some moral high ground to speak on. You're an idiot. That's what you are, because you're not figuring out what the rest of the world is. So Fauci looks around the room. He then stares at the chairperson and he finally decides, oh, I guess I got to speak now. I'm going to have to say something. And see if he answers the question. See if he denies or confirms or if he just evades. I think you know what's about to happen.
Mr. Chair, can I respond to that, please?
Hey.
Okay, there are two aspects for what you said. You keep saying you approve, you do this, you do that. The committees that give the approval are FDA through their advisory committee. The committees that recommend are CDC through their advisory committee. And you keep saying, I'm the one that's approving a vaccine based on certain data. So I don't really understand, with all due respect, Senator. And
I don't really understand why I'm being blamed for these decisions. Oh, I wonder why you're being blamed. Maybe it's because why the CDC and FDA, they haven't been talking heads for the past 2 years. They haven't been the people in the media spotlight that have been pushing everything. No, it's been you. Weren't you like the most influential person of Time Magazine? Didn't People Magazine have a huge article on you about who you were? And I believe we're going to turn this around. Wasn't it Top Docs, Washingtonian, that they put you on the cover of? I believe you even made another Time Magazine thing, right? And so you have been the person, the talking point for this entire pandemic. And today, you want to all of a sudden say, it was the CDC. It's this other organization. I'm completely innocent of any of this science that you're trying to talk about. I understand it. I wrote the chapter in the medical journal about it. But the CDC, they must not have read my chapter. And that's not my fault. I mean, I don't have any influence over any of these people whatsoever, right? And so this is very concerning, the fact that Dr. Fauci wants to just ignore the fact that there is no science about natural immunity being used in any of these papers at the CDC or any of the other acronyms that we want to come up with of people that are working behind. And Fauci today basically just said, hey, you know what? That was these other organizations. This was not me, Senator Paul. You got the wrong guy. He continued to deflect, and he never answered the question about whether or not natural immunity was being used. Because at that point, he said, well, this is somebody else's problem. One of these days, we're going to get the real story. We're going to find out where the money went. We're going to find out the Wuhan lab. We're going to find out how Dr. Fauci was tied to it through money that he had promoted and given. We'll find out about gain-of-function research. One of these days, it may not be tomorrow. It may not be a month from now. It may not be for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 25, 30, 40, 50 years. But when we do, the history books will be rewritten. Mark my word. Mark my word. And there's people trying to slander Rand Paul right now. I got Rand Paul's back on this one. I do. And I have Rand Paul's back actually a lot more than most people. He always gets the hate on the left. And then when he does an interview and explains why he's voting the way he's voting or saying what he's saying, it always actually makes sense. I find that the guy is a common sense person and he just doesn't give two craps about what the left wants to accomplish. If it's going to, number one, hurt the fiscal conservatism of his platform, of what he believes. And he will vote dollars and cents over feelings. And maybe in a populist part, I can understand why people get upset by that. But he's a principled dude. Like, he's a principled guy. I don't understand the hatred there. Well, let's get to the end of the conversation here with Fauci and them tossing out this video that Rand Paul played of his words about immunity, stating that it had no place here in this hearing. Okay, so we're going to hear it now, right now.
One that said you would not reveal, you would not reveal what companies gave you royalties or what company gave the other scientists royalties.
Got to move
That's
on.
What you told the committee.
Senator Paul, got to move on.
Could I please answer that?
Briefly,
you keep asking committees. They're not my committees. They're the VRBPAC committee for the FDA and the ACIP for the CDC. So I don't have any idea what goes on.
And they won't reveal, as well as you won't reveal.
Okay, we're gonna move on. We're over time. Senator Paul, you're over. Everyone's over a little bit. I just want to make sure we keep on time here. For the record, I know Chair Murray and previous chairs of this committee of both parties, have found videos to be out of order.
Videos are out of order, right? But again, words don't lie. Fauci stated natural immunity in 2004 was the best protection. Yes, there's the fact check about what that was in context of, but that does not change. He agreed. Natural immunity. He had not changed his teachings since 2004. So he actually proved Rand Paul correct. So the left can try to spin this whole thing as much as they want. They can try to throw the hate back on Rand Paul. But Rand Paul, you're an American hero today with this story in standing up for everybody's rights against what everybody's been told about vaccines and the science. You're putting a huge hole into the entire story right now. And for that, I personally say thank you. That's a much needed thing right now, a much needed dialogue to have in this conversation, considering people keep shouting other people down anytime they try to question and have a logical conversation about it. Now, if you go on to Twitter and try to see this conversation. It's funny because the left is exploding on it. They're like, but the insurrection, as if the insurrection has something to do with Rand Paul asking him about natural immunity. Again, these people are idiots. They're morons. Other people are all of a sudden bringing up Trump. It makes no sense whatsoever. Or that Rand Paul's a Russian operative. Really? Really? Rand Paul's a Russian operative, you moron. Did you ever follow Ron Paul, one of the most principled people to ever be in Congress? This is his son. I'm pretty sure that there would be plenty of research at this point in order to figure out whether or not somebody was a Russian agent. But that's just the left's talking points now with anybody they disagree with. Oh my God, they're a Russian misinformation. They're a Russian agent. Russia, Russia, Russia. Because they have nothing else they can talk about. They're morons. They're idiots. That's the way I feel. And I'm not holding back anymore. If that's where you fall, you're an idiot. Hopefully you don't fall there. Hopefully you have some common sense. Hopefully you can see between that these are questions that should be answered. These are questions that are actually important to the overall conversation in America. I'm tired of holding back about my thoughts on these things. And I just need to say what's on my mind. I really do. I need to speak truth to the listeners and not just worry about everybody's feelings. I know how I know that one of the parts of my show that should be different from others is to try to bring everybody together. But I'm going to call out an idiot when I see an idiot. And that goes for, doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on. If you're a Republican idiot, I'm going to call you out. Democrat idiot, I'm calling you out. You're a independent idiot, I'm calling it out. That's the only way we can expose and see things for what they actually are. All right. Now, just one last story here before I get going today, because it's been a long week already for me. I'm back in the classroom. I'm teaching all day, doing these podcasts at night, trying to get some interviews during the weekends. I have an awesome interview actually for you guys tomorrow. I'm so excited to bring you the interview. I'm going to keep you waiting. I'll tease it. It's Amazon's number one best-selling author. I'll be sitting down with him tomorrow around 1 o'clock to do an interview, and that show will premiere hopefully sometime next week. That's my goal. Maybe I'll even premiere it. Maybe I'll rush it out to you guys. We'll see. We'll see what I feel like doing when we're all said and done. Now, my last story today is a bit of a crazy story. So if you're following what's happening in the Ukraine, many other podcasters may talk to you about how Russia has been withdrawing troops. Nope, that's not me. I'm going to talk to you about UFOs. I know. UFOs. Really, Greg? What are you doing? Well, apparently, during this time of war, the Ukraine has been using their equipment in Kyiv to study the skies. And so the story that came out today is that they're seeing more and more unidentified aerial phenomena, the UAPs that we now identify, used to be called UFOs. But they're seeing these things that they're calling phantoms. They're objects that are completely a black body, and they're not emitting or absorbing anything. All the radiation is falling on it. And so it's very interesting. And also, they're very fast, so they're very hard to take pictures of and see. And they had to alter the cameras in order to get them to be able to be seen, because the naked eye was not able to. And I think that's interesting. Like, I've been listening to this conversation around big tech companies recently about what the human eye can capture and see. And basically they state this in the paper. It says the eye does not fix phenomenon lasting less than 1/10 of a second. It takes 4/10 of a second to recognize an event. Therefore, these things move too fast for the human eye to ever even see up in the sky. And that really made me think, are these things all over us too, and we just can't perceive them? And so what they ended up doing was using high frame rate cameras and using multiple observation areas to be able to point in certain parts of the sky in order to capture and account for the speed in the field of view. And so the exposure time for each of those images was less than 1 millisecond, and the frame rate was no less than 50 hertz of a refresh. And that enabled them to see these objects in the sky that were 3 to 12 meters, traveling at 15 kilometers per second. All right. Now, in case you're like me and you want to figure out what is a kilometer compared to a mile per hour, right? So if we had 15 kilometers per second, it's traveling 9 miles per second. That's right, 9 miles per second. Now, if something is traveling 9 miles per second, do you know what that is per hour? Well, prepare to have your head spin. These objects are traveling at 32,400 miles per hour. That's right, 32,400 miles per hour is what these UFOs are moving at. I can't even fathom how fast that is. All right, to put that into perspective, Earth's rotation per hour. Do you know what that is? Earth's rotation is about 1,037 miles per hour. So that is the speed at the equator if you take in the circumference of the Earth. That's how fast the Earth is moving. So 1,037 miles per hour. This thing's moving over 30,000 miles per hour. Do you know what the fastest missile is in the world that's on record that we actually know of? That's right, 15,000 miles per hour. That's the intercontinental ballistic missiles. So this thing's traveling twice the speed of hypersonic missiles. I don't even know what to say about that, other than we should be paying attention to this story right now. If the Ukraine is stating these things, and the Navy has just mentioned that they refuse to release under the Freedom of Information Act what they have about UAPs, and there's speculation that this could be from another country. The one thing that came out that I find very interesting is that they are coming into the water and out of the water, and they're traveling through the skies at great, great speeds. I don't know what does that, but we don't know if these things are man-made or not man-made. All we know is they are traveling at an exponential rate that we cannot even fathom with our naked eye. And that's the news that's fit to print today, I guess. Wow, it's been another episode. I appreciate you guys. I know you had other things that you could do today, but you stuck it out here with me. I've been getting a lot of emails recently, too, talk about the previous shows, and I try to respond to every single email. If I didn't respond back to you yet, I promise you, you will get a response from me. I really do enjoy the conversations with everybody, but the email box is filling up and I appreciate it. Feel free to engage on Twitter at RealGregBolden. And if you need that email address, it's greg@americaembolden.com. Everybody, have a great rest of your day. Hopefully we don't have this railroad shutdown coming up tomorrow. I'm hoping that everything can stay open, because if not, things are going to get bad. Inflation's going to go up. That's it. That's all. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.